Welcome to the Iron Basketball Podcast, the Pick and Troll Podcast. I'm your host, Zach Harper. Matt Moore, that game six, that sucked. It was an awful game. It was an awful experience of basketball.
Having to be there in person, just watching it, it's just, you know, so dull, and really you wonder why I was even there. I mean, just terrible. Oh God, it was so good. It was so good.
Well, you left in the fourth quarter, right?
It was so good. Yeah, totally. Actually, I know a certain blogger, not for us, but a certain blogger who did leave with 2 minutes left on the clock.
Really?
Yeah, went down to the press room. Thought it was over. No reason to watch it.
I mean, I also thought it was over. I started writing the series in review at the start of the fourth quarter. Because it just looked like Miami had nothing. I mean, it looked like they had absolutely nothing to stop the Spurs, to score against the Spurs consistently. There just wasn't any flow to anything they were doing. They looked like they were chasing on defense. They looked like they were completely stagnant on offense. And then they just kind of got mad, it seemed like.
LeBron got angry. The beast was awoken. It was just terrifying. I thought it was done with 28 seconds to go when they were up by five.
Yeah.
I thought that was it.
Yeah,
I mean, like, okay.
You rarely see a comeback in those situations. Like, it happens every once in a while, but it's pretty rare.
I mean, you're sitting there and you're going, well, they have to hit a three, and then, like, the Spurs have to allow a three, and then the Heat have to force it to a shooter, free throw shooter, who's not going to be automatic, and then that guy's got to miss at least one, and then they got to hit another three.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's just no way that this is going to end. Then, oh, that happened. That's exactly what occurred off of offensive rebounds.
And that's the thing. All right, this I missed, but I saw on Ball Don't Lie. Before we get into everything else, Tim Duncan was illegally substituted into the game. No one caught that.
Yeah, surprise. One person was telling me last night the Spurs have done that at least four times this year.
Wow.
Yeah, at least four times they've just kind of snuck someone into the game. And it should be awesome when somebody in the league office goes to them and says, hey, about that. And they're like, oh, we didn't know.
Oh, there was
it
was like a stoppage in play. We just assumed a timeout had been called. Our bad.
Oh, we're so sorry. So sorry. And it's like they could have been wound up, you know, deciding the finals. Yeah, man, where do you want to start? Let's start with this one. How about the Tony Parker step back three?
Oh, that was so dirty. That was just disgusting.
I looked at it later and watched the replay. It was right in front of me, directly in front of me. I looked down and saw it. And I looked at it from the side angle on when I rewatched it later and thought to myself, that may be the most perfect basketball shot I've ever seen.
It was like Gilbert Arenas-esque, like when Gilbert was good. Like, that was the kind of shot he would take in that situation. And it was the step back footwork was perfect. He was perfectly balanced. You know, he got all the elevation he needed to get it over the defender. Like, it was just a great play.
And then Parker's dribble drive, pump fake, get Chalmers in the air, turn around, one-handed, leaning floater. Parker hit some shots last night that were just unfathomable.
Yeah, I mean, overall, he was pretty bad, I felt like. He couldn't get shots to fall, but there were spurts.
I know, it was like LeBron. It was like LeBron was guarding him for most of the second half.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right, LeBron was guarding him for most of the second half.
That's weird. I didn't know that strategy could work. I thought he was just a terrible playoff player, but apparently he's okay on defense.
It was weird, though, because for a long while, they went away from the pick and roll to peel James off of him. They just kind of said, okay, we'll let LeBron guard him. And it's like, no, don't do that.
Like, you can do that when Manu's got it going. But once again, Manu was done. Like, he just didn't have it in just some brutal turnovers.
I said all week, I was like, we get one Manu game, that's it. We only get one. You don't get two, don't be greedy now. You'll get two.
I was on radio yesterday and someone said, hey, can we see another – does he have the fuel for another game like that? I was like, yeah, he's got the fuel. I just don't know if he can turn on the engine.
Nice. How about Tim Duncan in the first half?
Oh, he was – I mean, I tweeted this out, but Chris Bosh has been ridiculously good on defense all season long. Like, he has been – incredible. He's been a huge anchor for the Miami Heat's defense, which was really good all year long. And Tim Duncan did almost everything he could to erase that in the first half. Like a season's worth of work. He just destroyed Chris Bosh. I mean, he had everything going. He had the bank shot going. He had the hooks going. He was spinning baseline. He was spinning into the middle. He was dunking on guys. Like he had every move in his repertoire working and working perfectly. Like he was just, and it was, the weird thing was he hits his first 8 shots. The first shot he misses is when Mike Miller is switched out onto him, which was weird. Like he overshot a hook shot in the lane, but it was kind of weird that, wow, they're trying this hard on defense and Mike Miller's the one that stops him. That's odd.
Right, they throw like multiple doubles at him. He hits the bank shot through it. Like they, you know, Chris Bosh has got a hand directly in his face. He hits the turnaround. Like absolutely everything. Great coverage on the pick and roll. Duncan still manages to slip through for the jam. Like everything works. And then Mike Miller just kind of throws his hand up. Boop, clank.
And this should be, I mean, as good as Duncan was in the first half, Chris Bosh's defense in the second half, and he obviously made plays away from Tim Duncan at the end of the game that really saved it, but. His defense.
Royce Young wrote about CBSSports.com.
Yeah, his defense in the second half on Duncan was really good. Like a lot of guys wouldn't have that in them to say, no, you're not going to destroy me for an entire 48 minutes. Like I'm going to fight back a little bit, especially when Duncan's got it going like that. Like that's pretty hard to do. Bosh really played him well.
Yeah, and you know, Royce Young's got a piece up about the other plays that he made in terms of the rebound that saved their season the blocks on Tony Parker and Danny Green at the end of the game. And I love to see that from Chris because Chris is so maligned, and watching him in the finals really brings out to you how talented he is and how hard he works. That guy does genuinely work really hard. It's one of the things that like I was thinking about last night. This Heat team is maligned and they sometimes their effort isn't there because it seems like they're not mentally engaged, but this is a team full of guys that work exceptionally hard. Ray Allen and Mike Miller are both gym rats. LeBron is constantly working on his game. He's always watching basketball. Like Dwayne Wade has to work just to be able to, you know, stand. And Bosh really is a guy that gives everything that he possibly can. There's a lot to like there. You wonder how much of it with Duncan was he looked really physically – watching him walk on off the court, he looked really physically slow in that second half. It was to me, it was crazy because – you know, we look down in that fourth quarter, and you know he had 14 points after three. LeBron did, and all of a sudden, it's the fourth quarter. I look down, like LeBron's got 27 points. I turned to Royce. I was like, LeBron's got 27 points. He's 3 behind Duncan, and we're just like, what the hell? Like Duncan has this 25 point half, and all of a sudden it's like, oh yeah, LeBron just kind of caught up to him, and then LeBron winds up outscoring Duncan, which is just crazy after that first half, and then. You know who was also awesome for the Spurs last night? I feel awful for the kid for missing the free throw, but God, Kawhi Leonard was a beast.
Yeah, the free throw may have hurt their season. Like you don't know what would have happened, but you kind of know what would have happened. Like they probably closed that out, and the free throw was just that's just so killer. And he's been so good, but he was unfazed by it though. He knocks down the next one. He hit some huge shots in overtime. Which was great to see. Like, you know, you're a little worried he's going to have a Nick Anderson moment there, so young, but he managed to pull through it, and he had some man-sized rebounds, like, in the lane against three players on the Heat, like, just snatching it with his catcher mitt hands. Like, he had incredible, incredible rebounds in there and some big shots.
There was one where he slipped up in between James and Wade, out-jumped both of them, and tip the ball up with two hands and into the basket. And I was just like, wow. I mean, I just can't get over how great that game was. It was just every single play seemed so huge. And there are people that are like, well, they were made too many mistakes. I was like, that's because both defenses were killing themselves trying to stop the other one.
Right. It's because both teams are really awesome. You have the two best teams in basketball. Like, there's no other, like, this is whether you think – like, I think the Thunder would have had a great chance with Russell Westbrook. I probably would have picked the Thunder to win. But this validates, like, these are the two best teams in basketball. They really are. And that's the thing I love about them. Allow me to ramble incoherently for a couple of beats. But that's what I love about basketball, is that there's so much
validity. Do what you do.
So there's so much validity in the game. Like, there's so much, like, there's a lot of chaos. There's a lot of crap about, like, the officiating and all that stuff. But there's so much validity with who the champion ends up being, and the game itself, like, I know it's never going to be as popular as football because of gambling, because of fantasy sports, and because of the centralized, like, hey, you have that one day for football. I mean, I know they're, you know, it's pretty much 3 days for a week, but it, really that one day is when everyone congregates and comes together in football, and that's what helps make it so important. And football is also awesome. Like it's covered as well as anything. But with the NBA, like with basketball, it's unique to any other sport in the fact that you have so much scoring, and it's always back and forth immediately. Like with football, you have, you know, a team drives down the field, and then you don't have like 60-yard bombs like on back-to-back plays. Like it just doesn't happen. Baseball, guys don't get to alternate at bats to, all right, you hit a home run, now I hit a home run. Like you have to wait. But basketball, there's no waiting. There's never any waiting. Everything is a response to something that just happened, and that it's that kind of hectic, like chaotic environment that makes the plays like Ray Allen's three and Chris Bosh's block and Kawhi Leonard stepping up and hitting big shots and Tony Parker's step back three. It's stuff like that like you know you don't have a break in the action. Like aside from the 8-minute TV timeouts, you don't have a break in the action because something legendary could happen on the exact next play. And that last night's game just like if you didn't like last night's game, like you're just not a basketball fan. Like that was incredible. It was an incredible game. It was one of the best games I've ever seen. I try not to be knee-jerk about these things. But that was, like, I walked away thinking, it's hard for me to think of a better game that I've seen. I'm sure I have, but that game was just that good.
Yeah, I walked away and was like, I think that's the best basketball. I was asking everybody else. I was like, I think that's the best basketball game I've ever seen. You know, Sam Amick of USA Today was sitting next to me, and he was like, for a while, when we went to overtime, he was like, well, he's like, probably Game 7 between the Celtics and Lakers just because of the intensity of it. And I was like, the game is so ugly. And he was like, yeah, but the intensity. And then by overtime, he was like, nope, that's the best one. That'll do it.
Well, I was trying to think of, like, in terms of execution, I can't remember who I was talking to. Oh, I was texting Tim Bontemps, who will actually I'll have on a separate episode for today. We're going to have two episodes today, everybody. To talk about like the Jason Kidd stuff with the Nets and the NBA Finals and everything. And I was texting with him, and he was like, can you think of a better game in terms of execution down the stretch? And I was like, I don't know, 98 Bulls Jazz game. Like it may have been that long since we've had a game like that well played down the stretch of a huge game like that.
And even beyond that, I rarely go here because I'm not really qualified to talk about the essence of sport, and so I tend to stick within basketball. But this quote that I got from James Jones, who, I mean, it's James Jones, but the guy's been around and seen a lot, really stuck out to me. I talked to him. I said, is that the best game you've ever seen? There were only two guys that talked to him, and I was the second guy. And he said, in recent memory, he said, the more you play, the more recent games always carry a little bit more luster. He's like, that was a barn burner. And he kind of paused, and then he said, that exemplifies competition between two teams made up of the world's best basketball players. That's what that game means.
Yeah.
That game wasn't decided by more than just one or two plays. We were lucky to have just a few more plays than that, but it was an incredible experience. Just, and I was like, like I turned off my recorder, I was like, thank you, James. Like, on my way. You know, and then of course, like, I love the contrast of that with Mario Chalmers, who I snuck in to talk to, and says, is that the best game you've ever been a part of? And he was like, oh, it's up there. And I was like, is it better than the Kansas game? Like, right next to it. The one where I hit the game winner is always going to be better. I love Mario Chalmers. Oh. And then you'll love this. I asked him, I was like, you know, late in the game there, down five, I was like, were you ever nervous? He's like, nope. I said, not for a minute. And he paused and he looked at me and he said, not at all. And then turned back away. I was like, I love Rio.
What was great is on the Ray Allen 3, which we haven't even talked about yet. On the Ray Allen 3, even as Ray Allen is shooting the ball, Mario Chalmers is in the opposite corner calling for a pass. Like, Ray Allen, the great, you know, the most accomplished 3-point shooter in the history of the game, is trying to save your season, and he's like, nah, I'm open, give it to me.
Oh man, Rio's the best. Spurs locker room. Granted, I haven't personally seen them lose much because of the playoffs. I've only seen them lose two games before last night. That's the most ejected I can remember seeing them in the locker room. Yeah. That one hurt.
Oh yeah.
Badly. I'm not saying at all that the reaction is, well, so you think they're done? Like, no, I think they can respond totally. I think this is a coin flip for game seven in my mind. That's exactly what it is. It's both teams the fact that it's 3-3 represents what the series is. Both teams are evenly matched. We'll see which one is able to make a few more plays in game seven, knock down a few more shots. But just from the experience of game six, Danny Green is always has the same look on his face. Is always kind of like, you know what? I was playing in Austin a couple of years ago. I got cut three times. I get paid multiple millions of dollars a year to play basketball. I get to play on an awesome team. I'm happy. He walked away from reporters last night. We made eye contact. And he just kind of like sighed and like shook his head and slumped and just kind of walked off. I felt so bad for the kid. And then Kawhi Leonard was mostly robotic, but like a single robotic tear shed like rolled down his cheek.
Just
That one,
a tear of like some kind of gelatinous substance to keep
silicone
the
drip down. And then Ginobili at the podium said, "I'm devastated." And then Parker said, "It's hard to really think about anything right now." I mean, that one hit them exceptionally hard. They were there. Do you know about the tape?
The tape net. Oh, the gold tape.
Oh my God. Like, we were all like, you did not do that. Because like James and Wade were like, oh no, you did not. Like, they were like, Wade was like, that pissed me off. Like, don't do that. Like, don't do that on my home court. This thing's not over. I would have, of course, authorized the same thing, because with 28 seconds left, I even tweeted, I was like, well, this thing's done.
Oh,
Over,
yeah.
see ya. And I don't actually, everyone's busting on Miami fans. I would have been so dejected. I might have lost too, being down. Like, after Parker hits like the step back, I would have been like, there's nothing you can do, man. Just nothing you can do.
I definitely would not have left, but I wouldn't have one thought that they were gonna pull that out, and I probably just would have like sunk back into my chair and not really paid attention.
I had to get down the stairs last night because I got lost on my way out.
That'll happen.
And the hallway, the Seven Nation Army chant was fierce in that. And that, like, the entire arena was doing the Seven Nation Army chant as they were leaving.
The point about them being dejected and devastated, like, I don't think it means they're done by any means. I mean, I agree with you. Game seven's a coin flip. I think the fact that they have a day now, yes, they'll get asked about it all day long, or at least in the 4 minutes they're allowed to talk to the media. They'll get asked about it being devastating and destructive and all that stuff. But I do think, like, you're allowed to say, yeah, that sucked. Like, that was devastating. We had the NBA championship in our hands, and it was gone in the blink of an eye. Like, it's okay to say that, to feel that way, and then you just move on. You go through your preparations. You get ready for
Back to
game
work.
seven, and you're back to work. Like, it's like when Ray Allen was talking about, compartmentalizing moments where he's failed and moments where he succeeded. Like, the previous moment doesn't dictate what's going to happen next. Like, the preparation you've done over your career dictates what's going to happen next, and you accept the failures and the successes. You leave them behind, and you use what you do as the next step. And I think the Spurs can do that as well as anybody. Popovich is not going to let them dwell on this.
I said before game six on a radio call that the series has been worthy of the greatness of these two teams. And after game six, I'm left with, this series has been worthy of the greatness of our sport. This is the best that we can possibly ask for. Two of the best teams in basketball, two of the absolute best of the most elite teams in basketball, performing at a high level, responding to every challenge, and forcing a game seven. I cannot wait to be a part of it.
It's just a cool thing. Like, I woke up this morning like just giddy. Like, just giddy because of a basketball game, because we're gonna have a game seven. Like, that's I kind of wish it was tonight. Like, that would be a terrible decision to schedule it the day after. Like, that wouldn't make any sense, but that's it is something where I'm like, crap, I have to wait an entire day and a half to watch this game. Like, I want to see it. We got to talk about Ray Allen's shot. Seriously, a flick of the wrist is what kept the Miami Heat season alive. Like, a flick of Ray Allen's wrist kept the season. And there was more to that. There, you know, Chris Bosh with a huge rebound, but a flick of the wrist, and if it's off, the Spurs are planning a parade right now. Like, it's crazy how that, you know, one play never decides anything, but that one play was just, it's just insane. Like, it's so weird that is, and we've seen this 100, I don't know why I'm so caught up in this, but it's just like, the season's done. And then he gets the ball, he's calm, he squares up for the shot, he does all of his mental checklists like he talked about, and he knocks it down. Like, that's just such a cool moment to think about, like, we were one shot away from the season being over, and now we get a stay of execution.
And the Spurs are pushed to the brink. That's the other side of it. Not only does Heat survive, but now the Spurs are one win away from an NBA title and one loss away from a devastating collapse. Like, it's like, this is as high as it gets. I have a question. Do you still think that the Celtics think that they weighed out well on the Jason Terry, Ray Allen swaparoo? Do they feel good about that at this point? I'm just floating that out there.
Well, Jason Terry's not a traitor. So that's a big fact. I have a question for you real quick. If both teams' backs are against the wall, how small is that room?
It's a closet. I've got, like, this crawl space behind my downstairs bathroom. It's just like, it's like they just built, like, this tiny little mini room in the back. Like, that's what it is. Like, you can't get even back there.
You're like, all right, guys, everyone in there. But that's too small. Nope, everyone in there. Everyone's back has to be against the wall right now.
Everyone's back. It's weird because Parker was so bad, but I kept going back to how brave it was that Parker would respond so well to everyone. They'd make a run, French, and he would just, like,
what's French for onions? Because that like, took some onions.
He just hauled down the floor and got into the sets and got to the rim, and, like, the right-handed swooping layups and the step back three I keep coming back to, and just everything. And then, like, we haven't even touched on LeBron. I mean, look, the man was going to get destroyed.
He was terrible shooting the ball. He missed, like, six straight at one point. I mean, he was terrible. And then I did, like, I think he said something like, like, basically paraphrasing, but, like, he made a decision that if they were going to go down losing, he wasn't going to have any bullets left. And he, I mean, there are some guys that can fake their way through, like, hey, look, I'm going to give it all I got. But he literally gave it everything he had, and so much so that he forced things at times and had huge turnovers that almost buried them. But you could tell, like, he was still going to – they were basically going to go down on his terms. And even he took some big shots down the stretch going for threes when they had better options. I don't know if that's heroic or if it's stupid. It might be a little bit of both, but he took some huge shots and tried some huge plays. Some of them worked, some of them didn't. And he got bailed out by Ray Allen, but that was a cool performance.
I mentioned on Twitter, and actually Greg Doyle of CBSSports.com, who's not exactly a LeBron fan, mentioned this, that, you know, he was aggressive. Yeah. You couldn't say in that game he shrank. And then, like, he has this monster. And then in the fourth, he went bonkers, just attacking. And then it was great because I've come around and been like, you know what, Kawhi Leonard actually has done a phenomenal job on LeBron in the series, when I didn't think he was going to be able to before the series started. But then, like, he got him in the post up and just went right around him, right to the rack, and scored. The Spurs kind of fell asleep on their doubles against him. And then, yeah, you're right, like, huge shots. He took a turnaround fadeaway baseline jumper out of the post.
Yeah.
That was, like, not a good quality shot, but if it had gone in, it would have been like, wow, what a phenomenal performance. And then I love the fact that, I talked about, and Ken Berger kind of wrote about this for CBSSports.com as well, about how that game was kind of a microcosm of LeBron's career, where he failed, he succeeded, he struggled, he overcame, he made the right play, he got aggressive. It was his entire career in kind of a game, and even down to he misses this monster three and then comes right back on the rebound and knocks the one down to cut it. Yeah. That was such a LeBron moment right there, to miss, he goes right back up, takes another shot, knocks it down. Just absolutely incredible. A phenomenal performance by him, a triple-double, just which, like, no one's even really talked about, the fact that LeBron James had a triple-double in Game 6 of the NBA Finals. I mean, just it's such a joy to be able to talk about that game. I almost want to end the season now. Like, I'm almost like
co-champions.
We're good.
We're going to do
co-champions.
Yeah, we're doing co-champs to this year.
Everybody gets a trophy. Everybody gets a trophy.
This is the one time I'll accept that idea of everyone gets a trophy.
Everybody gets a trophy. Co-MVP for everybody. Juwan Howard, co-MVP. Oh, man. I'm high on basketball, man.
So what do you think is going to happen in Game 7?
I don't know. Why are you asking me that?
No, you got to have an opinion. You have to have an opinion that is fact.
Look, no team has won back-to-back games. The Heat haven't won back. We talked about how the Heat haven't lost back-to-back games since 1947. He haven't won back-to-back games since 1948. So, you know, the Spurs are going to respond. The Heat have the best player in basketball. Wade is an interesting subject because I actually, again, even rewatching it, I did not mind his play. I thought that he was active. I thought he was aggressive. I thought that he was making passes that should have resulted in assists, and either the player missed or then made another assist, so he would have gotten the hockey assist.
Yeah.
I felt that Wade was actually a big part of their ability to compete, despite his bad plus minus. And I felt like he struggled, but I didn't feel like – I feel like there's a huge gap between how Wade struggled and Ginobili struggled.
He also – like, this is just one play, but he had – an incredibly aggressive help defensive moment where Tony Parker, I don't remember exactly the particulars, but Tony Parker drove towards the left side and he got freed up for a jumper, and Wade hauled ass from the opposite side of the court and got a decent contest on the shot. And I think I may just be remembering this wrong, but he kind of rushed Parker into the shot and Parker ended up missing. And it was a big miss in the fourth quarter. That allowed the Heat to keep building momentum. But that, I mean, Wade wasn't great in that game by any means, but the effort was there, the movement was there,
those were the best defensive closeouts I've seen from him.
Yeah.
Ever.
Yeah.
And maybe
like,
ever.
Like there was a certain point, I think it was a little bit before LeBron got going, where Wade just looked pissed off. Like he just looked furious that he, like, there's no way we're going down like this. And he really stepped it up defensively. I think he had a block shot in there. He got a couple of buckets, and that kind of helped get them back in the mindset of being aggressive and attacking. And now I feel like a prick for saying, like, I didn't think Parker was that good because he missed so many shots. Because I just, like, everyone in that game was awesome at some moment, except for Danny Green. Danny Green was a no-show, but Bosch was right. Like, Bosch said that he wasn't going to be open. He was rarely open. I think he was open like two or three shots. He made one of them, I think. But
Mario Chalmers said after the game, you know, we had defensive breakdowns that allowed him to get open. We were determined not to do that in this game. You were validated, Mr. Harper.
I got one right. Danny Green. It's not so much that he didn't do anything. It's just that they didn't allow him to do his role. Like they took away everything that they were doing wrong against him, and that final block by Bosch on him. People are saying that Bosch fouled him. I don't agree with that. I know Jeff Van Gundy said in the broadcast, like, I don't agree with that at all. That was clean. That was a clean block. There wasn't enough contact through the shot to necessitate a foul. Maybe in that game, with how bad the officiating was, you can expect a foul there. But I thought that was a great block. I thought it was a great defensive play.
Yeah, I think both teams have a great shot at winning Game 7. I think that there should it will be this way because that's how our society works, but there should be no real crucification of the loser because this has been a phenomenal series. It's gone to Game 7. They've done everything they can do, and we're going to see what winds up. But, this is Game 6 is everything that's great about the sport. Game 7 is going to be a huge dramatic moment, and even if it doesn't live up to Game 6, we're going to always have Game 6. These finals have been worthy of how great this sport is, and I'm just so incredibly happy that we've all gotten to experience it.
Matt, I'm going to disagree with you. You never walk away from a meal with both people not choking. Someone always chokes at a meal, so someone's going to choke in Game 7.
I'm never going to dinner with you again.
someone has to walk away with some kind of oxygen loss or something.
No, because we can't end a podcast only talking about basketball, a couple of stories for you. So One here's embarrassing immense number of like 15. I don't like Old Spice, but I had to like embrace the whole body wash concept after years of using bar soap.
Okay.
And so yeah, I'm an axe dude, and like I just have to deal with that and come to grips with that in my life, and I'm comfortable with it because if you look at me, you're like, that's not an axe guy. But so I had the bottle of Axe. I put it in the side compartment. Yeah, it exploded in my bag. And so now like half my clothes are covered in blue gook. And like I had to it was bad because like the cleaning lady comes in yesterday when I'm dealing with it. And so she comes in and I've got like four towels out and I'm trying to like wipe off my razor that's covered in this stuff and like stuffing towels into the bag to try and soak it up. And like so if you see
it looks like you're stealing towels, and two, it looks like you murdered a Smurf.
Murder a Smurf, yeah, because that's exactly what it looks like. I'm just like there's a dead Smurf hooker under the bed.
I swear she fell.
And then what else happened yesterday? Something else occurred. I'm being that guy because so half of the entire, not even half, probably 75% of the media corps, they all had to fly out of American Airlines from San Antonio to Miami. And American Airlines, their biggest hub is located out of Dallas. And so almost everyone had to catch connecting flights through Dallas, either getting a plane from Dallas to San Antonio or going from San Antonio to Dallas to catch a connection. Well, thunderstorms rolled in on what day was that? Monday, through Dallas and hung over the airport for about 4 hours and completely shut down the entire airport. They canceled Royce Young's flight, which was scheduled for 11:30 a.m. out of Austin at 9:30 a.m. They canceled it outright.
That's crazy.
Our former colleague Ben Golliver, who now works for SI.com, didn't get into his hotel until 4:30 in the morning. So this morning there were people that have been up to like 5 a.m. on consecutive nights after that game last night. And it was funny because like last night I was like, oh, can you believe that game? And you can tell who got in early and was like, oh, it was incredible. And the guys were like, I don't care. I just want to go to bed.
This is going to be the quietest practice day ever.
And then there was like five people at shoot-around yesterday. It was amazing. Like it was just – there was nobody there. And then like for game six, and of course I've been the one, I've been that guy because I've just been like, oh no, I had no real problems. You know, I almost missed my connection in Charlotte. My bag didn't get there for a while, but I was fine. And everyone's like, you just expletive, expletive, expletive. So that's the kind of person I am.
They said, you stupid reporter.
You stupid reporter. You stupid reporter. NBA news. I don't think there's been anything. Oh, the Doc thing fell apart.
Shocker. Complicated deal falls apart.
Yeah. I don't see how he goes back, though, man. I just don't see how you go back and tell those guys, you know, play together unless I get a better offer in the next 15 minutes.
Well, is he a traitor now? Is KG a traitor for saying he'd waive his no trade clause? I never saw the rules, so I don't really know how that game's played. Ethan Sherwood-Strauss had a great comment on Twitter basically saying, it shouldn't be hard to take him back because they're not competing for anything.
love you, Boston.
I think he also at one point said this really hurts their chances at competing for the ninth seed.
Before we go, your favorite moment from Game 6?
It's the Ray Allen 3. I love shooters. I love three-point shooting. I love guys kind of just like staring into complete chaos and just not being phased at all. And like that Ray Allen shot, like there's the whole Jesus Shuttlesworth thing, but that was a religious moment for me. Like that was just, that was cool. Like I jumped off the couch and screamed. Like that was an awesome, awesome moment.
Mine's the LeBron block on Duncan.
That was disgusting.
Followed by him running down the floor, getting the ball, going right past Tiago Splitter, get that money, Tiago, and scoring on the layup. Like that was, the redemption of LeBron James. And I just loved seeing the athleticism on display there, the skill, everything. It was just an absolutely incredible moment, an incredible game, and I'm glad I got to talk about it with you.
Real quick, pick your Game 7 winner. Right now, I'm making you decide.
No! Heat!
I've got Bucks in six. Thanks, Matt.
Nicely done.